Daniel 6. Are you sure we're in Daniel 6?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right after the sign.
Right after the Belt Shaza.
You could be.
Mene, Mene, Tekel, Ufar, Sin.
Where are we?
Is Torah woman here?
I guess we'll know who will be reading.
That's a big thing.
Daryl, I mean Daryl. Daniel.
Thank you.
Do you know what Daniel means?
No.
Daryl, chapter 7.
Good guy.
No, Daniel means God has judged.
This is kind of cool. Sackbutt last time, I know that.
Sultry and sackbutt.
Is that what you feel like most of the times?
Did you read? Does anybody else got anything to talk about?
No.
Good.
Go, go, go. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm.
Now wait a minute. Do you understand what it means the king would have no damage?
People can't rip him off.
Hmm?
People can't rip him off.
Right, because he has
stuff.
He has both. He has stewards that are trustworthy at each of the places. Okay.
Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none such occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored until going out of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went into his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, but they have not heard me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. His steadfast forever, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
Well, we're never going to get done if I stop and talk about everything, so we're not going to stop and talk. Would you like to read, Mr. Science?
Yeah.
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the morning burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion, and glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart.
Okay, for those of you who went to the Bible churches, you remember what that signifies and all those little horns and the beasts and remember?
European Commonwealth.
This is the reference to this is in Revelation, but. Basically, they're saying that this hasn't happened yet, that there is something left to be done. We're not going to go into the details, but each one of those beasts represents one of the kingdoms that preceded this time. And then the last one that's talked about was Rome. And then the kingdom that was set up that shall not pass away from all languages to serve him, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion. It shall not pass away, then his kingdom shall not be destroyed. The reason they don't think this has happened yet is because that's the kingdom or the thing that they think God is going to set up. They don't know that that kingdom has been set up now, and that all tongues confess him now, that every knee is bowing and serving his purposes now, that there's nothing that is happening that isn't in his perfect dominion. And so, without going into each element of that, because we'll never get to where I want to get to, my teaching in this is that it's all finished. And that the end of the fourth beast was, the fruit of him was the Son of Man. And that's exactly what it says. And so all of this is done. Everything in this book is done. Does that compute for now? Can you accept that for now, or does anybody have any questions?
So Mr. Iron Teeth is wrong?
Mr. Iron Teeth is wrong.
Well, what were the ten horns? Is that stuff up here?
The ten sorcerers. I mean, anybody that had any knowledge of the Talmud would know what it is. It's the ten sorceries of the world. It's not something to the people that were used to this book. Those ten horns and the ten crowns were a common thing that was said. You don't have to go invent something. It was a common thing that was said about the sorceries of the ten sorceries of Egypt and their various effects. I mean, it's not something that you can sit around and make up your own idea of what it is. It's been ancient times. It's been that way. Can everybody just accept that for now? We'll get into that a lot later when we get into all of the study of Revelation. But I just want us to be able to go on now with an understanding that even here in this point, Daniel is teaching that it's finished. Okay? He's teaching it's finished now because he saw it to the point of Christ. All right. Chapter 8.
In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass, when I saw, that it was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Uli.
You remember where this is? The palace of Shushan is in Elam?
Yes, Esther.
Huh?
Esther.
That's what happened. That's where the book of Esther took place. And Elam is up in the mountains in Persia, and it was Shushan is the vacation palace of the
Was okay. Daniel before or after Esther?
He was very old, right?
Daniel was after. Okay. I mean, excuse me. Before. No, I mean, the book of Daniel is before Esther.
But he,
and he was very, very old. He was that Hotak.
That I knew he was in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will, and became great. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him. There was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came a fourth little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. And he came near where I stood, and when he came I was afraid, and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground.
Now remember, this is some 540 years now before the birth of Christ. So this is forever before the birth of Christ, okay?
But he touched me and set me upright, and said, and he said, behold, I will make thee to know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn is that between the eyes, and the great horn that is between the eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And the latter time, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not of his own, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and it shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. For he shall stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, and was sick certain days. Afterward I rose up and did the king's business. I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it.
Okay, can you understand that he's talking about now, about what's going to happen in his lifetime? He Let me put it another way. It's going to happen. All of this is going to take place before Christ appears on the scene. That the Persian Empire is going to be destroyed, and the Grecian kings are going to come out of that, and then Rome is going to come out of that. I mean, don't be deceived by Hal Lindsey. You have to be able to, if you don't accept what I'm saying in this, at least accept that it's possibly true. I want you to spend the time to prove to yourself that it isn't true. Don't leave this one in any, because this is where it comes down to the short hairs. If what we're saying here is not true, if this isn't finished, and if these things that are spoken of here haven't come to pass, and everything else I'm telling you about the cross and that it is finished now, there's nothing left to do except rest and have your mind renewed, is a lie. And so you cannot take this lightly. This is the crucial, this is a critical point in who we are. That we believe every one of these prophecies has come to pass. Okay? And that it's finished. And Christ fulfilled it. Now hopefully we'll get to that.
Plus, you know, the people who feel like all this is going to happen soon, I mean, it's the arrogance of, you know, they just don't want to believe that it's over. That they don't have any, you know, it's like, I guess they want to believe it so they can have a part in it or, you know.
Do you think Daniel was pretty scared after these visions?
It says he was sick.
But how did the Jews finesse this?
I don't know. I mean, I can give you 15 different answers. Normally, they don't read it. For many years, Daniel wasn't even included in the. There's great arguments. There's great arguments in the various different times in Judaism that Daniel should not be in the Bible.
That's just from the Torah that.
Yeah, this isn't. Yeah, this isn't Torah.
This may be off the subject, but it's amazing how many miracles we see every day. I mean, you know, that we know this to be true. And I was, earlier I got off the radio and I went to JoJo's, and out of nowhere, Pal showed up and just sat right beside me, and he was like, we barely even knew. You know, we were there, and it's just that all these miracles are happening all the time, you know, big and small. And, you know, we go through our day and don't really see them. You know?
We had a big deal yesterday getting Hendrina her heart medicine. She ran out of her heart medicine. It's real serious. And so she had one pill left, which we were taking through yesterday. So we called, I called the pharmacy, and anyway, make a long story short, I introduced myself, and he wasn't the normal guy that we deal with. I said, "Do you know who I am?" And he said, and he knew who I was, and he was very appreciative of what we're doing, and so he gave Hendrina her heart medicine. So, he said some pretty outlandish things. Okay, Daniel 9. Finally.
In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes.
You remember who Ahasuerus is?
Ahasuerus.
Which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books of the books the numbers of the years. Is this the chart we're doing here?
Books and knowledge chart.
No, what it is? His understanding of the, well, that's another story. But it's this, we think that this, the numbers of the years and understood by the books. We think that's the Zendavesta.
Yeah. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the numbers of the years, whereof the number of the Lord tempted Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the commandment and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, and they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel hath transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him.
Now, have you gotten a little bit of the feel here that it's a little different than I'm a king's kid and give me everything? The spirit of everything in this Bible is that not for my sake, but for thy holy name's sake, do it, Lord. And that must be always and ever. And here, we're starting with prayer and supplication. Prayer is common. Supplication is the rarest thing in the universe. And that's why when the really dramatic things happen in the economy of God and in the scripture, they happen by prayer and supplication. Prayer is just mouthing off. Supplication is putting your head in the lion's mouth and saying, do with what you will. Now, that's why supplication is the rarest phenomenon on the face of the earth. It's not trying to make God your errand boy. Okay.
And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil, for under the whole earth hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem.
Okay, now that's what we are studying now in this time between the straits. That's why we're studying this. Israel has been destroyed. The wall, Jerusalem has been, the wall has been broken through. And now soon, the temple is going to be, and the altar is going to be defiled. Okay? Where are you?
As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, has gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thy anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear, and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear, O Lord God, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken, and we do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name.
Okay. I better get your chart out.
There it is.
Have I got the chart?
Yes.
Who made this chart?
I did. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication, and everybody was looking at the right place.
We're confused.
We're praying. And confessing Harry's sin, or my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel. Now, fortunately, Harry doesn't have a call for Gabriel.
Raphael,
well, Harry's got a call for, there are four archangels.
Raphael, maybe.
Harry's got a call for Raphael.
Gotta order it.
Well, we had Mexican food, I'm sure you can.
Raphael.
Yeah. He's gonna be so shocked one day when he does that. And the archangel appears before This archangel is the one that killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night.
You'd be standing on his face.
With a big sword.
And so Harry goes, beep, beep. And this apparition appears that's bigger than the universe.
And Dr. Science.
Harry's saying, I was only kidding.
That's right.
Dr. Castrada.
Whose infamous quote was it? Was it yours? God knows when I'm kidding.
So I can sense the anointing.
Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, the being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation.
Whoa.
What's the time of the evening oblation?
I don't know, but I don't want him to touch it. It's the evening sacrifice.
Smack him, Sherry.
And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth. What commandment? That he has come from God to show him something. At the beginning of the supplication is the only time you ever begin to know something of God. Do you hear that? That's the only point that knowledge and revelation comes unto you, up till that point, when you can say to God, I am yours no matter what happens to me. That supplication. And that point, from that's the beginning of wisdom and understanding and insight. Amen? can everybody say, maybe for the first time in your life, I'm yours, Father, no matter what the cost, no matter what happens, no matter what you do. The beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. The Spirit of Christ is always at the point of abandonment, of the point of supplication, and the seed of Christ is revealed. And therefore the commandment comes forth from the Holy One that says, and he sends the archangels to you, and says, thou art greatly beloved. I am now come to give you skill and understanding, wisdom. I mean, this never changes.
I'm reminded of the greeting that Mary got from the angel and the greeting that Gideon got.
Amen.
Wouldn't expect.
Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Get the meaning of it. Consider. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins. And to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most High. Now look at all that stuff. 70 weeks are going to come. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Now, let's go to this thing. First of all, the scriptures always say, somebody turn to Ezekiel 4. Just one person go. Ezekiel 4, verse 6. Tylene? Tylene?
Okay, and when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year.
I have appointed thee each day for a year. 70 weeks, then, is equivalent to 490 years. Do you understand that? Does that make sense? Each day for a year, 70 weeks, huh? 70 times 7 is what? 490, right? What's that? So you understand, I've appointed thee a year for each day. We got 70 weeks, that's 490 years. Now the question then is, when does the 490 years start? Because it's 70 weeks till the end. So that's kind of an important time, right? Okay, let's go to Ezra 7. Okay, back to 70 weeks. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins. That's an incredible thing.
Are we in Ezra?
We're still at 70 weeks. Daniel, we're going to read Ezra in a second. I just wanted to get you the implications. Here we are. We're sitting here 536 B.C. And Gabriel says in 70 weeks it's going to be an end of everything. But it didn't happen the way anybody thought it was going to be. It was the end. The world is on fire and nobody knows it. Just like now. It's everything's done. Everything's finished. It's done. It's over. And nobody knows it. And they think there's got to be all these yo-yo theories and all kinds of theories about 60 jillion years of peace on earth and all that kind of stuff. Because that's the only thing that can happen. That's what guys think it'll be like, right? And so if somebody thinks it's going to be that way, then it's going to come. It's going to, this time, I promise you, the end will be the end. And everything in the universe will have to pass through that cliched dart. A dot, not a dart. A dot that's smaller than your eye can see. Now, the thing that I want you to understand is, because this is the Word of God, and it's saying that this end, the end of sins, the end of transgression, happened 2,000 years ago, you got to believe that it could happen in 2 seconds from now. And that you live your life accordingly, not paying attention and giving value system to things in this earth. We are strangers in a strange land. The better translation is, we are aliens in a bizarre land. We have no truck with this land. We have no mission here except to be transformed into the image of Christ. We have no duties. It's finished. Oh, we got to go save the world. No, you don't. You got to be faithful in the world that you've been given. Make disciples in your world. Meet the need in your... I am not doing too well here.
Water. The ozone and the heat. It's high today.
So we got, in some way, from the time, it says, Therefore, understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, that's the beginning. We first got to get that point. There has to be that point in time, or otherwise nothing else makes sense. Okay? So go to Ezra. See what that's when the beginning is. The beginning of the going forth of the commandment. Ezra 7, verse 9. Somebody read it.
For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him.
Okay. That occurred in 458 B.C. So that's the commandment. That's the beginning from the going forth of the commandment. We have to count 490 years. But because we're going to go past the ADBC business, we have to add a year. You understand?
No, wait a minute. How does 9 fulfill?
That's when the commandment went forth.
Oh.
We know from all kinds of historical documents that was in 458 BC. We know that, in fact, that it was in the spring of 458 BC.
Is there a specific commandment that went forth? I mean, what? The commandment.
Well, that's here. I don't want to go through that.
Okay.
For right now, trust me.
Yeah.
Ezra received the command of the Lord to go forth and rebuild, reconstruct Jerusalem.
Okay, that's what I was trying to find.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's what that 7:9 says, that's the beginning of it.
That's why Christ said, you kill me in 3 days, the thing will.
Well, in this case, that's a whole other world.
Yeah.
That's a whole other world.
Okay.
We're talking here about a point in time when all of Israel was in the diaspora. And they received a command from God to go forth and rebuild Jerusalem.
Okay.
That is what's referred to in Ezra 7, mm-hmm. verse 9. That was 458 B.C. Okay. Can everybody go check it out in your own time? Now,
so at this point, Jerusalem is empty.
Jerusalem is overrun. It's okay. Now we got to go into this calculation stuff. All right. From 70 weeks from 458 brings us to the spring of AD 33. You understand that? I mean, we can go up there on the board and do it if you want me to. Huh? Because you have to take 458 minus 490, or plus 490, and you have to add plus 1 because you go from, because it's never 0, you understand?
Yeah, 0 year.
0 year. And that brings us to the spring of 33 AD. That's when it was finished. Again, go to verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy.
To seal it means
nobody understands it. So what do we see? Again, I want to get this in your heads. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy city to finish the transgression. What does that mean? in Abram's time, it was to what? To fill up the sin of the Amorites. That was a picture of this time. In this time is a picture of you. When you finally know you have what? You finished the transgression. How do you finish the transgression? When you stop worrying about whether you've transgressed. When you've seen your total evil and you've abandoned yourself. Capisce? You finish the transgression, you make an end of sin. How do you make an end of sin? From God's standpoint, the real only sin, and if you don't believe me, read Genesis, is self-realization. And it doesn't matter whether you're self-realizing in Harry's name or Barbara's name, or Bruce's name, or God's name, or Jesus' name. If you're looking to protect yourself, to gain realization, that is the essence of sin. Third, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Everlasting means it never ends. Never, it's everywhere. Everlasting. He brought in everlasting righteousness in the spring of AD 70. To seal up the vision. Well, we don't have any doubts about that one, do we? To seal up the vision and the prophecy.
That meaning so little, so few can hear.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a darkness blood one.
All right. Now, let's start. See if we can begin to understand the chart. Now, we got time for the chart? Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, what's that? How much is that? 7 weeks, 62 weeks.
69.
That's 69 weeks. That's 483 years. From that point, 483 years brings us to the spring of the AD 26. Now, you understand? Now, why is AD 26 important? It's before his ministry started. It's 3.5 years before his baptism. It is the time, and I know this with everything in me, it's the time when Christ fully realized who he was. In the spring of 26. He didn't realize his mission. He knew who he was.
And he waited 3.5 years.
He waited 3.5 years.
He would have been.
Because he didn't trust it.
30 years old.
Oh. 26. Huh? 26 or 27? Yeah. I thought he waited 3 years to teach the.
No, how old was he?
Oh, that's true too. He waited that, but he only waited. Well, we'll see what he did. You understand? When was he born?
September 20.
Zero.
No,
he was not born in zero. He was born September of 4 BC.
So he died when he was 36.
Do what?
I got the calendar wrong.
The calendar's wrong.
Mr. Science gets it back.
But if he was born 3 years before, 3 years BC. He was crucified in 33 AD. That's 33 plus 3 is 36.
Okay, we are going here by our. You're mixing two calendars.
The truth and the calendar.
You understand? Can you understand that a little bit?
Hold that thought. We'll go through.
Okay. No, I don't know, but that's okay, actually.
We're mixing. You're mixing two metaphors. What?
It's not that important.
Okay. The Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall even in troublesome times. Okay, that's what was happening during this time. The construction of the temple and the wall of the city was going on even during this time. Okay? After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. What's that mean?
Is that the wilderness thing? Mm-hmm. Is that when he went out the wilderness? Yeah. 62. Was this and after 62 weeks? Is that after that again, or?
How much is 62 weeks?
62 weeks.
Okay, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now we're going to come to the mystical This is where Hal Lindsey, Dr. Walrood, and all of them say, it's the floating week, that sometime in the future this week shall start. You understand that? Have you all heard this?
Yes, that we're stuck in the 69th week.
This is the 69th week, and sometime in the big future this week shall start.
Right.
Huh? Do you understand that? Can you, I mean, just stop a minute. Doesn't that sound silly?
It's not very neat.
Talk about hard to believe.
Huh?
Talk about hard to believe.
It's like when someone logically talks about the rapture.
Yeah, like everybody could have their own week then.
Well, just think about it. All right. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week. Okay, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. From the spring of AD 26 until the spring of AD 33, he's confirming the covenant with many for that week. Okay? He's talking to many, speaking to many, many believe on him. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now this, hear me, this is real important because it's exactly opposite of what Hal Lindsey and these people say. They say he here is the evil one, the Antichrist, who shall set up the temple. You understand that? So they say they say he there is that. I think their greatest evil is that they're calling Jesus Christ the Antichrist,
which is exactly. I mean, that fits.
They think the sacrifice is still going on.
Okay. Your Sunday group. Be like Jesus.
Okay. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the... Now, how did he do that? He did it by his baptism. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. At his baptism, he spiritually caused the end of all sacrificial systems because the baptism foretold his death. Capisce?
What is it about the 3 score and 2 weeks?
We're going to get back to that in a minute. Now, but do you understand that? You understand that when you're baptized, what happens when you're baptized? It's your death. It's your burial. What happens when Christ baptized? He did so to fulfill all righteousness. How did he fulfill all righteousness? He had to do it. How can I say it? He had to die in front of the masses so that he could confirm the covenant. Do you understand? We're not speaking. We're not communicating.
Well, that's good.
Let's go to Matthew 3. Now, we're fairly certain that this occurred in the fall of autumn of AD 29, what we're about to read here. Because it's the only time that the Jews ever baptized. The period between what? No.
Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
It was the days of awe. Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. What he's saying is, O sons of the snake. He's calling them children of Satan. O sons,
Seven and a half.
O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits necessary or meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. The axe is laid to the root of the tree by his act of baptism. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoe I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He had to fulfill this at this time in order to fulfill the prophecy in Daniel. It had to happen now, and only now. It's the only time it could have happened, to fulfill the 70 weeks. You understand? A little bit. And those that were of knowledge in the temple understood it. Caiaphas understood.
That would also explain then why you would wait 3.5 years. You had to wait 3.5 years.
That's right. And it's just so happened that he had to wait that long. He waited because he had to go through all of the cycle with the disciples to show them that he was a fulfillment of all the law, the prophets, and the writings. Now, then he allowed him. And Jesus went, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove, and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And you understand, this is only one of the three epiphanies that happened to Christ, where the audible voice of God was heard. And this one, it's his beloved Son who he is well pleased. Why? Because he has now, in the midst of the week, he caused the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. You understand that?
He took it on at that point.
He took it on at that point.
God say, this is my Son. Or, right. You know, like even like that testing of when he knew who he was began, and that was kind of the end of that.
Let's go back to Daniel now. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now this is the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet that Christ warned of. He said, when you see it, then shall the end come. It's like, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Amen. That's why as he, for all those years, he started studying and memorizing the Proverbs when he was 4. By the time, and all, just as all children did, by the time he was 7, he had memorized the book of Proverbs. At 7, he started studying Leviticus. By the time he was 12, he'd memorized the book of Leviticus and knew its meaning and could argue either way every point of the law. I mean, we haven't evolved. We've devolved. I mean, the idea of... That's why I need to talk to Mike about this, but the idea of of evolution is sick. There's no evidence for evolution. None. Zero. There's only evidence for devolution. But by the same token, then, how do you explain the fossils? How do you explain, you know, I've carbon dated things that were 15 million years old. How do you explain the Cro-Magnon man? And how do you explain these ancient peoples? There's only one way, and that's by there was a race of people that existed before the human race, the pre-Adamic age, and it was the age of Lucifer. That's where we now get the spiritual world, because they ate both of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. They were spiritualized, and they're locked into that spirit realm. They can never get to eternity. Well, it's what all myth is based on when you read it and you see the common denominators. It's why all gargoyles of every place around the country look the same. Why do they look the same? Why are all symbolism of the occult the same, no matter where you are? Why do all of the disparate countries of the earth have the same signs of the zodiac?
You know something weird? I was in Farmington, and several years ago, these Mormon young men went out and rolled some Indians and ended up killing them and mutilating the bodies. And they were Navajos, and the Navajos just, this is when I was about 8 years old, flipped out.
Mormons?
Yeah, they were white guys, but they were more than just white. They were in the Mormon community, which is another big, the big white community in their town. And the Indians just flipped out and were just had marches, and it was really scary, and you know. And I went back, and someone had written a book about that and stirred up all the shit again, and so the same kind of things are happening. But it came out that the Indians put curses on these three men. I mean, that was another thing, they were minors at the time this happened, so they just went to juvenile, the other one were released. They put curses on all of them, and all three of those men had died horrible deaths.
Let no man deceive you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, the man of sin has to be revealed before. If it's always been finished, the only thing that was necessary is for that is to see it. And it seems to me that all that's necessary now is for us to see that the man of sin is revealed. Now, how do we do that? Of course, I mean, there's only one thing that's left for us to do. It's that, you know, it's the Pharaoh who died looked a lot like Lee.
That's right. It was Lee all along. Legifer.
Who poseth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Didn't show anybody else. Shows himself that he is God. And how well each of you do that. It's in your private conversations, when you think of what you should have said in that business deal, or you should have said to your husband, or you should have said to your wife, or you should have said to your teacher, or you should have said, you show yourself that you are God, that you could get it right next time. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed. I mean, you understand this, the severity of this? That if we're right and we're revealing the wicked one, and it's you, and it's me, and it's man, then we don't have much time left.
Like deep into the fourth quarter.
We're way past the 2 minute warning.
Yeah, way past the 2 minute warning.
We're at overtime.
And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. And that's what he does. He consumes it by the word. By the word that you speak, it destroys the Antichrist within you. But on a cosmic scale, he shall destroy with the brightness of his presence, the brightness of his coming. The word coming there is the word parousa. That can either be meant his presence or his appearance. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Better translation is they should believe the lie. And the singular lie is the lie that began at the fall. You are separate from God and need to do something to get something. It's the fall that originated cause and effect. Capisce?
What happened? What happened to Christ in the spring of 26?
Well, there was some kind of an internal recognition within him.
And he then, he had to sit and wait 42 months.
Before the baptism.
I was checking it out.
I don't know why, but I mean, to me, that just seems overwhelming. I don't know what it is. But the idea that he had to wait 42 months or so.
Big time.
Something really big time. I don't know if it was fully realized his high place identity or not. The fact that he has spent 3.5 years in that.
Well, look
at
how many times. I want each of you to look how many times
the big deal.
42 months is used in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And it's the time from it's finished to the time it's known that it's finished. So the mystical 42 months is still going on. In the other metaphor, it's like it's still dark. The darkness. The day, the new day in Christ started on the cross, and it's still night from the one day that's left. Now, as soon as the dawn breaks and the day star arise, boom, it's over.
So, what about the 62 years the Messiah shall be cut off?
Okay, we're gonna study that. Plus, we're gonna study.
Save that thought.
It's 8:00. We'll study Tuesday. Yeah, bring him back. Does everybody understand this a little bit better?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you can read, you can write a critique of Hal Lindsey's book.
Yeah.
Well, first of all,
take a big guy.